Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful this evening that you have allowed us to reach the conclusion of this week for this gospel meeting. We are thankful, Lord, for Brother Bond this evening. Ask that you give him a recollection of those things he has studied and prepared. We pray, Lord, for those who are listening, that in searching for the truth, they are able to hear the message tonight and understand it and make application of those things that Brother Bond will share. We pray, Lord, tonight that someone is searching for the truth, that they've realized the circumstances regarding their soul are dire. Thankful, Lord, that the gospel message is still available for those who want to be saved. We pray, Lord, tonight that Brother Bond stand bold on the tenets of the gospel pertaining to your son, Jesus, that they'll tell him about the cross that he suffered and hung on, about the grave he was buried in, and the empty sepulcher upon his resurrection. Lord, we pray that he stand bold upon the Church of Christ, that blood-bought institution, the kingdom of your dear son, the household of faith. Pray, Lord, that you bless us with the increase. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Plunder. We're very thankful tonight to have each and every person on the call. We welcome those who are not members of the Church of Christ as our VIP, very important person. We put this call along with you in mind. Now we ask you to open your Bible, follow along with our speaker. Our speaker tonight in person, Brother Clay Bond, will talk about the last lesson on love. Greater love had no man. Brother Clay Bond, he serves for the Lake Country Church of Christ in Marble Falls, Texas. We're so thankful that they accepted our invitation to speak to us tonight. Brother Bond, will you talk to us about greater love had no man? Let us hear from you.
Well, I'm glad to be with you tonight. I'm thankful that you are here listening. I know there are a lot of things that you could be doing tonight, but you have chosen to take some time to study God's Word. We're certainly encouraged by that. As Brother Tommy said, our theme tonight is greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, John 15, verse number 13. God undeniably loves you. And what God wants more than anything is for you to be saved. Listen to what John 3, verse 16 says. For God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm thankful for that passage, because that passage reminds me about God's love. And it assures me that God loves me, and that what God wants more than anything is for me to be saved. In 1 John 4, verse number 10, the Apostle John says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Tonight, I want to invite your attention to Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to use this text here in Ephesians chapter 2 to help us with our subject tonight as we talk about God's divine love. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 10 together. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. As we think about this beautiful text from the Word of God, we see that salvation is the grandest theme known to mankind. And broken down, this text teaches us that because of God's love, salvation, number one, is from sin. Number two, by God's love. Number three, into life. Number four, with a purpose. Number five, through faith. And number six, unto good works. Now, as we open the Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we see that the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to the brethren at Ephesus. As he writes these good brethren, he's reminding them about the salvation that they have in Christ Jesus. And so as we look at verses 1 through 3, we see, number one, that salvation is from sin. Listen to what Paul says. And you hath he quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." As we think about this first point, salvation is from sin. Sin is something that we commit. It's not something that we inherit. In other words, we're not born sinners. Moral responsibility for sin comes in the youth of one's life and not at the point of conception or at the point of birth. In Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 29, Solomon says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but man has sought out many inventions." In Isaiah chapter 53, we read about a beautiful prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that would take away our sins. And it says in Isaiah 53, verse number 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray." You see, friends, we're not born astray. We're not born sinners. The prophet Isaiah says we go astray. Salvation is from sin. And sin is something that we all struggle with. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 23, Paul says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, we've all gone down the wrong path. Even Paul said that one time we walked according to the course of this world. Some sin is something that you'll struggle with. It's something that I will struggle with. It's something that only God can help us with, and that's why we're emphasizing God's love tonight. If it wasn't for God's love, there would be no salvation from sin. As we think about the seriousness of sin, what does it mean to sin? What does it mean to be lost? Well, to be lost simply means to be spiritually dead. And you'll notice that in the language of Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2, when Paul says, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, and when you did that, you were dead in sins." To be lost also means to be eternally separated from God, according to Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. To be lost means there's no peace with God, according to Isaiah 57, verse number 21. To be lost means to be in a state of hopelessness. It means to be a slave of sin, John chapter 8, verse number 34. Sin is a serious problem, but because of sin, we desperately need salvation, and that's what God provides through His love. Salvation from sin takes us from the hopelessly lost condition of sin and restores us to a right relationship with our Creator. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5 as we continue to work through our text. First of all, we've noticed that salvation is from sin, verses 1 through 2, by God's love, verses 4 and 5. Listen to verse number 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved." You know, many view God as a tyrant judge who looks forward to punishing people. But this is so far from who God really is. We learned in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Friends, God has demonstrated His love for us. Now, as we noted in verses 1 through 3, salvation is from sin. And sin is something that we all struggle with. And because of sin, we are in a lost condition. But as we pointed out, God undeniably loves mankind. Even though we've offended God, even though we have broken peace with God, even though we have made ourselves an enemy of God because of sin, even though we have subjected ourselves to God's holy wrath, Psalm 7, verse number 11, we learned in Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, because of God's love, God reaches out to save us. He reaches out and he offers us salvation through his Son. I'm thankful for God's love. And I know you're thankful for God's love. Because of God's love, God provided that perfect sacrifice. He provided that substitutionary sacrifice. You know, at the very beginning of our lesson, we started off with a verse that's found in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 10, where the Apostle John is explaining love and emphasizing God's divine love when he says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us." In other words, John is saying, listen, if you really want to know what God's love is, here it is. God's love for us is seen in God sending his Son to die for the propitiation for our sins. Now, the word propitiation is a very interesting word that we find in the New Testament. It's only found three times in the New Testament. And it carries the idea of Jesus Christ dying in our stead. Now, we pointed out already from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, that we are the ones that have sinned against God. But God is the one that reaches out to us, and he offers us salvation, which is a gift through his divine love, and we see what that love accomplished. Jesus Christ died in our stead. Here you have the just Jesus, 1 Peter 3, verse 18, dying for the unjust. That's you and me. Why did Jesus do that? Why was God so willing to die on the cross? Because he loves you. Because he loves me. You know, we don't force God to love us. We'll force God to punish us because we'll leave him no other option. But God freely loves us. We learn so much about God's love in the book of Hosea. God loved his people freely. Even though his people forsook him and committed spiritual adultery, God made it clear in the book of Hosea that he loved his people and that he would take his people back. Salvation is from sin by God's divine love. Friends, if it wasn't for the love of God, there would be no salvation. If it wasn't for the love of God, there would be no propitiation for our sins. We would be lost. We would be dead in our sins. But because of God's love, God provided that perfect sacrifice. Because of God's love, we see that Jesus built the church. Jesus loved the church. He's the Savior of the body. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 23, we learn those great truths. He loved the church and he gave himself for it. Ephesians 5, verse number 25. When we talk about the Lord's church, we're not talking about a denomination. Denominationalism goes against the very nature of what the New Testament teaches. Jesus promised to build one church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church." Singular possessive. It belongs to Christ. He's the one that established the church. He is the one that died for the church because he loved the church. And we see that beautiful church established in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. The Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians is writing to members of the church of Christ, those who obeyed Christ, those who responded to God's loving message of salvation. Salvation is from sin, and we see that salvation, verses 4 through 5, is by God's love, by God's mercy, and by God's grace. You know, as you think about God's love, mercy, and grace, we see that those words are related. We might say they're cousins. They belong to each other. They really work with each other. There's beautiful harmony between mercy, love, and grace. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we deserve. Now, we deserve punishment. We deserve God's wrath, but God is merciful. God holds back that wrath that we deserve, and he gives us time to repent and come to him. You see, grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. What is it that God gives us? He gives us salvation. You know, as we think about God's love, it reminds me of another passage in the book of Psalm, in Psalm 103, verse number 10, where the psalmist says, God has not dealt with us after our sins, nor hath he rewarded us according to our iniquity. You see, God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we need. What is it that we need the most? We need salvation. And we see that salvation has been provided by a loving God. The book of Jonah, another book in the Old Testament, teaches us about God's divine love. You know, one of the reasons that Jonah didn't go to Nineveh, he understood the kind of God that he served. He knew that God was merciful. He knew that God was gracious. He knew that God was loving. And so he refused to go to Nineveh at first, but we see how God worked with Jonah and brought Jonah around, and Jonah went to Nineveh and preached God's message, and we see how people responded to that beautiful message of love. If you would, go back to Ephesians chapter 2 as we continue to work through this text. As we read verses 4 and 5, I want to now read verse number 6. In verse number 6, Paul says, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Now look at the points that we're making up to this point. Number one, salvation is from sin. Number two, salvation is by love. And then number three, salvation is into life. Now, when we mention life, we're talking about eternal life. And again, it comes back to God's divine love for mankind. Because God is such a loving and gracious and merciful God, we see that what God wants more than anything is for us to have eternal life. Jesus himself said in John 10, verse number 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Salvation is from sin, by love, into life. I once heard someone say that the one thing that a dead man needs the most is not a coffin, it's life. And that's what God offers through his Son. How simple yet incredible is this dimension of salvation. Because of sin, we die spiritually, but God, who is rich in mercy, grace, and love, offers us life through his Son. If you have your Bible, let me invite you to open your Bible to 1 John chapter 5. You want to go ahead and mark Ephesians chapter 2 because we're going to come right back to it. But listen to this beautiful passage. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 11, the Apostle John says, and this is the record, that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You see, by Jesus dying on the cross, we learn in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 10, that Jesus abolished death, and he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's why God has given us marching orders to go into all the world and preach the gospel. God wants people to hear the message of salvation through Christ Jesus. And that's what we're trying to do tonight. We're trying to present the soul-saving gospel of Jesus Christ, the old Jerusalem gospel that was preached in Acts chapter 2 as Peter and the apostles preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we see that there were souls that responded to that message of love. There were those that repented of their sins and that were baptized into Christ, and they were added to the church. I'm thankful for the eternal life that we have through Jesus Christ. You see, those outside of Christ, as we've already established in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, are dead in sin. They're lost without hope. Friend, that might describe your life tonight. You might be looking at your life and you might realize, you know, I have done some awful things in my life, horrible things. And you may be wondering in your mind right now, will God really forgive me? Friends, I'm here to tell you that it doesn't matter what you have done. If you will meet God's terms of pardon, God's promise to forgive you. Because we serve a loving God, and as we presented already, we see what that love provided. God's love provided a perfect sacrifice. It provided blood that would wash away any sin. It doesn't matter what it is. The blood of Jesus has the power to wash away sin. That's the eternal life that God offers through His Son. And so those outside of Christ are dead in sin. They're lost without hope. But God is able, as we're seeing in Ephesians chapter 2, to restore life again. He offers life through His Son. And so I'm thankful that we have that life, that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. You'll notice that in verse number 6, that God raises us up together. But you see, before a person can be raised, they have to be buried. And we learn that one is buried in the watery grave of baptism, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 4. Don't miss this point, because this is an important point that we're seeing in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 6. When a person is being saved, when a person's sins are being washed away, God raises that person. But before a person can be raised, they have to be buried. In fact, if you'll go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 19 and following, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead raises us from the deadness of sin when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That brings us to our next point. Salvation is into life with a purpose. God raises us with a purpose, and we see that purpose so that we can sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Friends, that is speaking about the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. It is an amazing thing. It is a wonderful thing that God can do through His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, what are some of those spiritual blessings that God grants us? Well, we see that we are forgiven of our sins. We are given a new life. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 17, Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We have life. We have purpose. No longer do we live a lifestyle of sin. Now that we're in Christ Jesus, we live unto our great God. And then we'll notice that salvation is through faith. Look at what Paul says now in Ephesians 2, verse number 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Here we're talking about the grace of God. We mentioned God's grace, His mercy, His love earlier. And here Paul mentions it again. You see, friends, grace is the source of our salvation. I want you to write out the word grace in an acrostic fashion. And when you write out the word grace in an acrostic fashion, each letter will represent an idea or a thought. And when you write down this thought using this acrostic, you'll have a beautiful definition of grace. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Think about that acrostic. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's why God offers us eternal life, salvation, through His Son. Because the grace of God is the source of our salvation. There is nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. We don't deserve salvation. Salvation is a gift that comes from God, Romans 6, verse number 23. But you know what we're seeing in this text is that God has a part in our salvation. But man also has a part. Notice it again. For by grace are you saved through faith. We have to put our faith in God. But what kind of faith is Paul talking about? Well, Paul is talking about an obedient faith. Friends, that's the only kind of faith that will save anybody. If we're going to respond to God's message of salvation, it requires an obedient faith, not a dead faith. In James chapter 2, 14 through 26, we learn that a dead faith won't save anybody. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We also learn in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 8 and 9, that Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. We see faith at work when we're baptized into Jesus Christ. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 12. In Colossians 2, verse 12, Paul says, we are buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the working of God who raised him from the dead. As I said earlier, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead raises us from the dead when we put our faith in the working of God. But when does God work? When a person is buried in baptism. It's not the water that washes away our sins. It's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins, according to Revelation 1, verse 5. But we learn in Acts 22, verse number 16, how to contact the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. Just like Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. That's how we put our faith in the working of God. That's when our faith will save our soul. For by grace are ye saved through faith. As I said, we see 3,000 souls putting their faith in God in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost when they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, we're noticing these points. Number one, salvation is from sin. Number two, salvation is by God's love. Number three, salvation is into life. Number four, salvation is with purpose. Number five, salvation is through an obedient faith. And number six, salvation is unto good works. You see, once you're baptized into Christ and the Lord adds you to His church, the church of the New Testament, the only church that we read about in the Bible, God wants us to fill our lives with good works. He wants us to be busy. He wants us to be active, laboring in the kingdom of God. Friend, if you never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we encourage you to do so tonight. Don't hesitate any longer. As the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What God wants more than anything is for you to be saved. Thank you for listening to us tonight. God bless you.
And God bless you, brother. You've done that for us tonight. We appreciate you so very much. We know why God did what He did, and all this surrounds love. This whole discussion this week has been about love. And you close us out with a bang. We appreciate that. God so loved us. And greater love has no man than this that laid down his life for his friend. So we know we're salvation. And you've given those points. And if you're on the call tonight, we want you to be saved like Brother Bond. We want you to obey. Don't put it off. If you've been listening to us, we want you to be saved. People are dying every day. And Jesus said, if you die in your sins where he is, you can't come. It means you can't go to heaven. So what do you need to do? Get back with the person who invited you to the call tonight to hear the message from Brother Clay. And it was a great lesson of love. And oh my goodness, we just appreciate God so much for the way he loved us. And we want you to obey this truth as well. So get back with the person that put you on the call. They're members of the Church of Christ. And they will get you in touch with someone who would like to study with you further, or if you need to know more information, or you want to get baptized, they'll make those arrangements. If they can't, then they can email us at the nationwide gospel call at yahoo.com. That's nationwide gospel call at yahoo.com. And we will make the arrangements for you to have a teacher come to you, or we'll make the arrangements to have you baptized, or connect you with a congregation close to where you are in our listening audience. Now, you may want to go back and listen again to the message tonight. It's hard to take everything down in 30 minutes, but it's recorded. It's on our website. You can go back. It's free to you. All you got to do is go to our website, HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And you go on the More tab. There is on the Nationwide Gospel Meeting. Nationwide Gospel Meeting. Just go down to February 2021, and you can see all the sermons for this month, as well as all the other sermons we've had since the month of May last year. So we've got everything here for you. We're trying to do our part. Why, you may ask, why are you doing this, Brother Brooks? Well, because we love you. And we know God loves you. And this is the good works we're supposed to do. After we obey the gospel, we're supposed to help others get to heaven. We don't want to go by ourselves. We'll take as many people as we can with us. Let's pray to God. Father, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus, your son. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we thank him for giving his life on the cross, shedding the blood that, as Brother Bond has talked about tonight, that will wash our sins away in baptism, as it did the chief of sinners. As Ananias told him, arise and be baptized, wash away your sins. Contact the blood of Jesus, your son. They'll wash our sins away and put us in that blood purchased church, which he died for also. The only one in the Bible, your son's church, the Church of Christ. Lord, we pray for our visitors that they have received your word tonight with meekness, understanding it's able to save their souls. Father, we love you and we thank you for all of our speakers, and we pray your blessings upon Brother Clay Bond and his congregation and those in Marble Falls and all the congregations across the nation of Churches of Christ. Pray your blessings upon us. If we hold true to your word, and we don't add to it or take from it, we'll just teach it in a plain and simple way. We love you, Father, and we thank you for all you do. Thank you for watching over us through this inclement weather. Thank you for those who have gone through the storm, but we're starting to come out of it now. We thank you for watching over us. And we pray for those families who are struggling at this time. We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. We end that end of the week of love. Yeah, I've been faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these three is charity. What a way to end that 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now we go into the close. Faith, hope, love leads all to salvation. Next week, our very own co-host, Brother Anthony Flunder, will kick us off. Next week, we'll be speaking about the same thing, about being saved. He'll talk about he that shall be saved. Tuesday night, James Dale, Phoenix, Arizona. He'll talk about the saved are in the church. Wednesday night, my friend Jerry Norris from Dallas, Texas, talking about baptism now saves us. Brother Richard Odom, Midland, Texas, what one must do to be saved. And closing us out, Greg Weston, Lubbock, Texas. We got West Texas on next week, y'all. Are there few that be saved? Let's see what they're going to do from West Texas. Amen. We got West Texas, a little Dallas, a little Phoenix, Arizona, sprinkling there with them. Let's see what they're going to do for us. I know it's going to be a blessing. There's been some great speakers. We love all of you. God bless you. Have a good night and a good weekend.